And in Hebrew, God says, I am, or Yahweh. Greek is ego a me. The English, I am, or I will be what I will be. It's the infinitive of the verb to be. It means there's no beginning, there is no middle, and there is no end. God has always been. In fact, another way to translate that word is simply to use two letters, I-S. God is. So Moses packs up his family and he heads to Egypt, and along the way he meets up with his brother Aaron, whom God has sent to meet with him. And Aaron and Moses appear before Pharaoh, the mightiest man, the most powerful man in the face of the earth, and says, "Let my people go," says the Lord. That doesn't go well. And God tells Moses that 10 plagues are going to descend upon the Egyptian people, and that in them, God is going to display his wonder to the world. And the plagues are progressively worse. And as each plague unfolds, it is an attack on the religion of the Egyptian people. First, there's the plague of blood, and then frogs, then gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, and darkness. Every one of these attacks a segment of Egyptian religious life. God is conquering them through the plagues. Then it's time for the 10th plague. And the 10th plague is God coming to judge sin. And we just need to remember, as we approach the 10th plague, that the first 9 plagues did not affect the Hebrew people. They were not impacted by any of those other 9 plagues, and they did not have to do anything on their part to remain safe. God protected them. The Egyptian people were afflicted. God's people were not. The 10th plague is the death of the firstborn son. It is the judgment for sin, and we'll be reading from Exodus chapter 12.
Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year-old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they will eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left until morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. At midnight, the Lord struck down the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all of the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So the 10th plague is the plague of the judgment of sin. And a question for us to consider is, if God is coming to judge sin, who is guilty? Right? Well, in the book of Romans, we read that every single person on the earth is guilty. And we also read in Romans 6 that there's a price to be paid for that guilt. And that price is death. Right? The wages of sin are death. That judgment is coming upon Egypt, and a substitute must be offered by the guilty parties in order to make satisfaction for the debt that they owe. And God provides a means for a substitution to be offered by the Hebrew people. Matt just read the expectations. It must be a perfect lamb, a year old. It can be a goat as well, without blemish. They're to bring it into their home for 4 days. And to care for it, right? They have to feed it, make sure it's clean, that it has a dry place to sleep, right? They have to love on this lamb for 4 days. And then at twilight on the fourth day, they are to sacrifice this lamb. They're to take the blood of the lamb and put it over their door frames, the door lintels, the door jambs. Because the blood of the perfect lamb act as a marker so that the angel of death descending upon Egypt will pass over them. It is the perfect sacrifice coming from the perfect lamb that will lead them to freedom. An animal sacrifice now from this point on for the Hebrew people becomes a part of their religious life. Right? We'll be reading in the story in the coming weeks how a tabernacle is going to be put together, and priests are going to have an elaborate system of killing different animals at different times of the year, and that the blood of those animals will cover the sins of the people. But it's temporary. It wears off. And it has to be done year in, year out, year in, and year out. See, Passover, this festival, points to something bigger than itself. In the coming years, the Hebrew people are going to enter the Promised Land, and roughly around the year 970 or so BC, King Solomon is going to build a temple. Right. And once the temple is built in Jerusalem, it will become mandated that Jewish people make pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend certain festivals throughout the year, and one of those is Passover. And Passover is when men and women, families and friends, they eagerly gather together to share a meal, and that meal is centered on the same foods that were eaten the night of the first Passover: lamb, unleavened bread, wine, and some other items. Think about the night that Jesus is arrested. It is the night of the Passover meal. He has gathered his disciples in the upper room. He shares with them that he has been eager to share this meal with them. And as they sit down and there's excitement buzzing along them, you know, Jesus has come into Jerusalem after 3 years of public ministry up north. Wonderful and powerful things are going to happen. And it's all going to get kicked off by this meal tonight. And they looked at the table and they see the unleavened bread and they see the wine before them. But there is something vitally important that is missing from the meal: the perfect lamb. It's not there. They had to wonder amongst themselves, how can we possibly faithfully observe Passover without the Lamb? In the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer, is in the Jordan River, and he is preaching a message of repentance, of returning to God and faithfully living for God. And he's baptizing people, and he looks up from his work, and he sees his cousin Jesus walking along the bank of the river. He's known Jesus his entire life. Their family. And yet the Holy Spirit anoints John the Baptist at this time, because as he stares at his brother, he confesses, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That night, gathered with his disciples in the upper room, Jesus presented himself as the perfect Lamb, whose blood would save them from slavery. Not slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin. And would bring them into the promised land. When the Jewish people gather together to observe these sacred meals, even to this very day, they do a practice called anamnesis. We've talked about anamnesis before. It's a Greek word, and it means to remember by doing. And as they gather around the table, there's a script that they follow. "Father, tell us why we're going to eat this lamb tonight." "Oh, we're going to eat this lamb because we remember the graciousness and the mercy of God in preparing a substitute for us so the angel of death would pass over." And for each item of the dinner, a different facet of the explanation of the story of the Passover would take place. They're remembering God's merciful act of salvation as they're doing something. This morning, we remember by doing. We'll drink from the cup, and we will eat from the bread, remembering the gracious act of God in giving his perfect Son, the Lord Jesus, the perfect Lamb, whose blood has set us free.